And peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel for this day from Matthew chapter 10. I read for you again these words. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. This is a day for confessing, as it is every day. But not just any confessing, but confessing Jesus, who He is and what He has done for us. It's a day for confessing God's Word, no matter what. That's what the confessors did at Augsburg 493 years ago today. They confessed Christ in the face of great opposition and danger. And that's because the world has always wanted to kill Jesus. When he was a very young boy, Herod sent his soldiers to kill every boy in Bethlehem. But God warned Joseph in a dream, and Jesus was delivered from death. 30 years later, Jesus preached his first sermon in Nazareth. They wanted to kill him then too. But this time, it wasn't an impersonal order from an insane king. In Nazareth, it was friends and relatives who picked up stones to kill him. But Jesus was not stoned that day. Again, he was delivered from death. But the world eventually got its way. The people whom Jesus came to save would eventually gather in the court of Pontius Pilate and cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The world simply could not pass up the chance to murder the Son of God. This isn't surprising, of course. The world is thoroughly ruined by sin. When the world sees Jesus, it sees someone it can't handle, it can't control. For our Lord is not like other men. He's offensive to the world because while the world is filled with sin and death, Jesus is filled with forgiveness and life. And so, though Herod and the Nazarenes didn't get to kill Jesus when they wanted to, Jesus will still walk the road to Golgotha and die. He does not save himself from his crucifixion. He does not come down from the cross in earthly pomp and might. He does not kill every sinner with a word and send them all into everlasting torment. When the Lord is reviled, he does not revile in return. When he's slandered, he remains silent. When he's handed over to the centurions to be crucified, he lets them drive in the nails. Today's gospel continues Jesus' instructions to his disciples as he sends them out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Part of their preparation is being made aware that they will be persecuted. In this case, the persecution would not come from outsiders. It will come from close to home. Jesus tells them, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." After all, what goes for Jesus goes for us also. As many of us as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death, we will be persecuted for the faith, even in our families. The world will stop at nothing until it has killed us also. Jesus continues, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" Jesus tells us to expect the world to treat us as it treated him. And it does. The world will do everything it can to swallow you up in the grave forever. The world wants you to doubt the Lord's words. God has promised that He will provide all that you need, both now and in eternity. The world doesn't want you to believe what God has promised or live as He desires. And so the world might try to convince you that when the rain washes away your crops, or the rain doesn't come, or you lose your job, or you suffer disease, that God has abandoned you. But if the world can't make you think that God has abandoned you, it will often do something even worse. The world may try to make you think that you can get along fine without God. The world might give you wealth, a stable job, a healthy body, and every good thing that your heart can desire. In either case, the world wants you to live without God. It wants you to despair that God loves you, or to be so comfortable that you don't think God has anything to offer. Both of these roads are on that wide path to eternal death. The scriptures describe a Christian as a tree planted by streams of water. It's healthy. It has green leaves and it gives fruit in its season. But the tree can only live if it's by the stream of water. Without the water, it will die. Unfortunately, many Christians are like a tree that was once planted by the stream but has managed to move away from it. It might look healthy for a while. It might not look too different from other trees, but the branches will turn dry and brittle, and soon after they will die. Before too long, the tree will be good for nothing but firewood. Trees cannot live without water, and Christians cannot live without the Word of God. The Word of God alone can tell you that you are a sinner for whom Christ died. The Word of God alone can tell you that the Creator of the universe took on human flesh so that He could suffer and die in your place. The Word of God in water is the means by which you became God's child in baptism. The Word of God, combined with bread and wine, is the means by which you will receive the forgiveness of your sins in the Lord's Supper. Without this medicine of immortality, without the saving word of the gospel, you will die. Without hearing it regularly, you will become sick. It's not a cold or allergies that simply annoy you. No, it's much more like a cancer. It will spread throughout your whole body until finally your faith dies. You will think that you can live without God. and God will grant your wish. If you separate yourself from the place where He gives life and salvation, only death will remain. And so it is not lightly that Jesus says, "Fear the one who can destroy your body and soul in hell." If we separate ourselves from the place God comes to us, we will live in eternal torment without Him. That, dear Christians, is what the world wants. It wants you to suffer the consequences of your sins forever and ever. The world will scream and rage and do its worst against you. But for those who trust Christ, the world's defeat is already certain. Though the world is filled with sin and death, your sins are forgiven, and death has no power over you. Jesus has taken your sins to the cross. He has died there while experiencing the Father's full wrath against your sin. The one who can destroy your body and soul in hell loves you. The Father has laid your punishment on His only begotten Son. You are that important to Him. Though we were His enemies, though we had rebelled against Him in our sin, though we came into the world hating the one who created us, God our Father loves us. Thus, He has not killed you in your unholiness. He has not held your iniquity against you. Instead, He has punished His own Son. He has offered Him in your place. The Lord's divine justice has been satisfied. Every sin has been punished. And Jesus, who has borne them all in your place, still loves you and still cares for you. He goes before His Father and says, "Dear Father, You have given these dear children to Me. They are Mine, and I love them. Receive them into life as You have received Me. They are forgiven. Their sin is gone forever." So who can levy a charge against the Lord's elect? No one. Not the world, not the devil, and not even your own sinful flesh. You are free. What goes for Jesus goes for you. He has died, and so you also will die. But Jesus is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. And so you too will rise from death to live forevermore. Jesus has forgiven you all your sins. All who trust in Him will not be put to shame. That is the church's confession. God grant that it is your confession as well, and that you confess it in word and deed to His glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.